Hey, what's up, you sports V's? Yes, it's me, Miss V. I'm not your host, but this is Ask Miss V Sports with James Acevedo, where I don't know where he's at. But this is the quickest hour in, this shows you I really don't host most of the time. This is the quickest hour on online talk radio in sports. And, wow, folks know how to tell time.
I don't know what the hell happened. I called in and it didn't come up on the board. I don't know what the hell happened.
No shit. You want to get your introduction since I didn't...
Yeah, my God. I was like, I called in just in time. And then I'm hearing all this. I said, why is my shit not on? I'm refreshing my page. And I'm like, okay, I guess I haven't showed up on her side either. And then finally I got on. Thank you. But yes, welcome to another exciting edition of Ask Miss V Sports. It's Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6:01 to be exact. But who gives a shit? We're on. It's the quickest hour of sports. I know we're not usually curse around here, but, you know, trust me, we curse way less on here than we do on Bear Black Bitch Show, you know, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Wednesdays. And, of course, it's all about sex, sex, and more sex, which we really curse a lot. Fridays, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, especially tomorrow's episode, but we'll talk about that a little later. anyway, this is the quickest hour of sports. You can call in right now, 646-716-8041, if you have any questions or comments on what's been going on in this sports world. And there's something that we didn't get a chance to talk about on this show last week because, you know, it was the start of March Madness, so we had to get a little into that.
And it's the end of March Madness, apparently.
Yeah, March Madness continues in life and in the tournament. So, you know, that continues tonight, by the way. But, you know, we're honest on the show. We honestly, you know, we have no dog in the fight. We really don't give a shit. I mean, there was good games that's happened. There was one game, I forgot who it was. I think it was with Texas A&M. I forgot what it was, but it was a team that was 11th seed that had a 12-point lead with 40 seconds to go and totally blew that game. I mean, that's I know that, you know.
Wait a minute. That was worse than Michigan State. At least Michigan State just got blew out completely. But they blew a 12-point lead and 40 seconds.
I saw the sequence. I don't know if you ever saw the how that happened, like the sequence of it, like the you know, highlights, well, called the lowlights for this college. I got to look it up who it was, but my God, they basically trapped the team every time they inbounded the ball, and the player was just trying to kept bouncing. You know how you like when you play basketball, if you get double teamed. I know this sounds like a sexual innuendo, but it's not. When you get double teamed and you're back in the court, you can't throw the ball to your teammate. You go, okay, I'm going to throw the ball off of you. That way it goes out of bounds. We still get the ball and we inbound the
right.
ball back.
Yeah, bounce off of the other team because you normally hit their leg or something and it bounces off of them and it goes out of bounds.
And then
you get the ball back.
Yeah, but the kid, and it wasn't just this one kid, it was the same other kids too. They kept, you know, a bounce pass. Like he totally missed the other teammate. Goes to the other team, and they just, you know, lay up the ball, and it happened again. You know, under the basket, another inbound pass. They try to get in, they couldn't because they were pressing, and they couldn't get in. They turn over the ball. And all the sequences were happening, and like, wow, that it still went to double overtime, and they still lost. You know, the team that
you know what?
Still up.
Coach Izzo from the Michigan State Spartans said it this. That's why they call it March Madness. He did. He said that's why they call it March Madness. Because
that's
he
why
said
they call it March Madness.
Because, you know, he said he gave the best press conference that to me any coach could give. He said, you asked me if I would do anything different. I can tell you it's not a different game, so I can't tell you. You know, and he said, don't, whatever you do, do not blame the players for this. Do not blame the coach. they came in prepared. And remember before that, when we talked briefly on Friday night, I told you that he had already given that team big props before he went in. So, to be honest, I know he went in there prepared because he was already talking about how good this other team was. So, they knew that despite what the rest of the college world did not know, because I don't watch college sports, and let's keep that, you know, let's keep it real. Yeah. Me and you have been honest, you know, college basketball is not something that we walk around preaching that, oh, yeah, we're watching college basketball, you know.
Yeah.
That's not what we do. So, you know, I can't say I remember his conference before they even played, and he had given this team mad props. And he said this team is the best prepared team because they have all seniors. And as good as Michigan State is, they are a very young team. You know, they don't have, you know, they have a lot of freshmen and sophomores. They did not walk into that game with graduating seniors. You know, they might have had one or two, but not the way Middle Tennessee. You know, and I, like I said, thank God that, you know, I didn't pay tuition at any of these schools. So my I don't give a crap thing is really I don't give a crap. I'm being honest.
Like I was saying, too, and by the way, the two teams I was talking about, the team that choked was Texas A&M. They were the 11th seed in the – let's see what bracket this is. I think this is the
– And Texas A&M is a really good team for anybody who don't know about the who don't know about them. They I mean, they're not horrible.
Yeah.
But they're good.
Yeah, 27 ain't that too shabby. The Texas A&M made the 12-point comeback, 40 seconds left against UNI. Who was the 11th seed, 23-12? I mean, a 14-2 run in 31 seconds, under a minute to play. That's no excuse. That's embarrassing. I'm sorry. And you still had two chances to win in double overtime. Okay, I give them credit for sticking in. Like they could have easily just said. You know how, like, a team chokes like that, they just, you know, they just die. I give them credit they stayed in, but shouldn't be in that predicament in the first place.
Well, at the end of the day, that's why they call it March Madness.
Madness, yeah. Speaking of madness, like I was saying, oh, by the way, if I didn't say so in the beginning, I apologize coming in late as I did. Technology is just so wonderful.
I know it has to be something because you tweeted, you know, and I'm like, well, I know, you know, it's not like that. He thinks I'm not here. I'm not getting the where you at. You know, I started tweeting, hey, we're live. And I'm like, we might be live, but we ain't all here live.
Ms. V is just bringing up how yesterday it was like behind the scenes 3 minutes before the showtime, and I was wondering where Ms. V was. And I texted her, where you at? And as soon as I texted her, where you at, that's when she came on the screen. On the whole screen. So I knew she was chopping at the bit when this was coming. I could give it back to him now. Anyway, but I deserve it. I apologize. I tried. I don't know. This thing was just acting stupid with the phone. Anyway, we didn't get to talk about this last week because.
Quit giving it crack. I done told you, you're not supposed to give it crack. Crack is only for dogs and cats, not for your.
That's true. But I still apologize to our listeners. So, you know, I didn't talk about this last week because it was lots of March Madness talk, lots of call it MMA talk. Matter of fact, I might get into this a little later. New York City is going to finally have MMA in the States. Finally. Thanks to somebody that was in power being taken away, and now we can actually officially have MMA.
I was going to say. I was going to ask this, you know, since we're talking about sports. So,
yeah.
Is the reason why they're doing it because Ronda Rousey is actually black, so they could say a black girl got her ass beat by a white girl? I mean, I was just wondering.
Maybe. I just know there was some sort of shadiness going on when it comes to the politicians in New York of why this wasn't being allowed, and now this particular person who is now going to jail. Now the bill is passed to have this happen. You know, it's like this one particular person who was not letting this happen for whatever the fuck reason. But anyway, I gotta look into more on that. But here's the main thing I didn't get to last week. I spewed this out a lot on my show last Friday. And it has to do with a certain baseball player who just retired last week. His name is David LaRoche. Dave LaRoche, first baseman of the White Sox, just went with them last year. Here's the reason why he retired. He retired because he claims that the vice president, his name is Kenny Williams, he's the gentleman. He was actually the GM originally of the White Sox. Then he got promoted to be the vice president of baseball operations for the Chicago White Sox. And he claims that he, because this is what happened. Now, this is going back to even when he was playing with the Nationals. He has this thing where he brings his son with him every day, whether it's spring training or before a game, having a round in the locker room and even on the playing field. It gets to a point that it gets even more interesting that he has his son have his own locker made next to him. He actually has a custom-made locker next to him.
Yeah, I've been following this a little. I've been following this a little bit, and I'm gonna let you say what you gotta say because I've got an opinion on this.
Yeah, I know. So he always had this. There's nothing something that came out the blue and just started this year. He's always had, supposedly, before he goes to any team, he puts it out there out front. They listen. One of my things, if I'm gonna be on a team, I have to have my son with me every day. Practically with the team. Now, I know people are asking, well, what does this kid is handicapped? Is this kid something wrong? No. This kid's not handicapped. 14-year-old boy. Good health as far as we know. But he always wants his son with him because and he's then you probably ask, well, does he go to school? No, he is homeschooled. He is homeschooled during this time of year and then when it's not baseball, that's when he goes to school, supposedly, you know, like everyone else does. Now, don't you find that retarded? Like, it should be the other way around? Like, shouldn't you be in school now? And then when you're out of baseball? But anyway, so here's
I'm going to be honest. Yeah. Like I said, I thought you was finished because I got my own opinion on
that. Now, all this talk, and then all of a sudden, all these teammates, one of them, Chris Sale, the ace pitcher of the White Sox, claiming, oh, this is BS, what happened, we lost a great guy, you know, this is not about breaking the rules, this is about bullshit, because we were told by Kenny Williams something else, and then Adam LaRoche days later said, well, this is what happened, I was approached by him saying I need to cut it down a little bit of bringing my kid, and then it went from that to not bringing him to the stadium at all. And here's my thing. I don't care if it's baseball. I know baseball's different than a regular job. But in no way, there's not any job that you can have your kid with you every day. It is not professional. It makes your coworkers or your, in this case, your teammates a little uncomfortable because you can't be an adult. In other words, I can't tell my sexual escapades to someone else when there's a 14-year-old. Right there, not too far. And I don't want to disrespect the guy having his kid there. So, you know, at first, okay, every now and then, that's fine. I got no problem. I got no problem. Daughter or son, if you want your kid hanging out, that's fine. That's why they have family days. That's the point they have, shit like that. And even in certain other jobs, that's why they have these company picnics or whatever the fuck they do. But to have a kid every day, there's something strange. I'm not saying that LaRoche is something wrong with him. He seems like a good guy. He's a great dad. But it's a little too much. I'm sorry. That's a little too much. And how about this? Don't you shelter your kid when you do that? Shouldn't he be with his, you know, kids around his age and not, like, adults all the time? I'm just saying. It's just something strange about it. And I'm not saying this make him a bad guy. You know, he seems like a good dad, but to leave $13 million on the table, knowing that you already made $70 million in your career, it makes it a little easier for him to leave and retire. And, oh, by the way, you sucked last year, batting .207 and only 12 home runs. So this is what I think. because there's a fine line here. I read through all this bullshit. I think what happened was, and this is a fact, by the way. This is not an assumption. A couple of years ago, he re-signed with the Nationals. Like, this was like 2013 or so. His children were disappointed that he didn't retire. So, but he was like, hey, you know, I resigned. He didn't realize that his kids really wanted him to retire back then, a few years ago. So I'm putting two and two together. He knows he sucks. He probably feels, I probably can't produce anymore. I got here. All this is going on. This guy coming to me saying, oh, you know, you need to tone down a bit with your kid hanging around. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to look like a hero to my kids. I'm going to retire, making me look like the greatest dad ever in mankind. And at the same time, it'll look good my teammates because I look like, you know, oh, I'm such a great guy. I took family over the team. Well, let me tell you something. That's not cool to me. I don't understand, because this is the truth. You can't tell me, and this is fact, by the way, there were certain teammates and coaches that went to the vice president of the baseball team and told him, listen, this is getting uncomfortable. This is not cool. Now, in my opinion, should they have approached LaRoche himself? Yeah, but, you know, they didn't want to probably cause issue. You know, they tried to be professional about it. And obviously, this guy, it wasn't just one teammate or two. It had to be a huge, it had to be at least a couple more than that to make this an issue, and they had to make a decision. So he went to LaRoche and said, listen, at least cut it down a little bit. I don't know about the – now, if it's true that he told him don't bring it back at all, that's not right. Then I would side with LaRoche, but I don't side LaRoche on this. I don't, because you don't have – you just don't do that. It's just not right. It's just weird. And all of a sudden you have all – you know, Chris Sale saying, well, all of us teammates support. First of all, don't speak for me if I didn't tell you to speak for me, okay? You can't say all the teammates because that's bullshit because we know for a fact that it was certain teammates that got uncomfortable. And then there was word from Alan LaRoche that, oh, well, this is discussed to management. This is what I usually do. And we agree upon it by a handshake. Well, unless it's on a contract, you don't have shit to say. Because if it was on a contract, best believe that the MLB Players Association will be all on it right now. And they haven't. So in other words, it's not on paper. If it's not on paper, then I'm sorry. You can't do nothing about it. I'm just saying. That's it. It's a ridiculous thing to even certain players going, oh, you know, I applaud LaRoche what he did. Come on, man. It's just, come on. And no one says how he just abandons the team to me. I mean, if you're a professional, I'm not going out hitting 207. Even though I put 12 years of my life into this career, I'm just sorry. I'm going to say, listen, son, this is a situation. And I feel bad for the son because, you know, the son probably feels a certain way that he feels it's his fault. And in a way, it's not. You know, he's probably a good kid.
I don't.
It has nothing to do.
I've got to let you finish. You don't know. I want the time in so bad. I'm
sorry. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I'm gonna end it with this. I feel bad for the kid because now he probably feels, oh, I'm the reason why my father left baseball. And it kind of sucks that LaRoche kind of put him in that situation because he should have. He should have been professional and go, okay, you know what? I'll cut it down as long as, you know, I'll bring him every now and then and be a professional. You have 1 year left on your two-year contract. You're leaving $13 million on the table. I don't care if you have $70 million saved or whatever the fuck. Be a professional, earn your money, and do what the fuck you want afterwards. If you suck again, good. You have a reason to retire anyway. But to go out like, I don't know, to go out like this, it's not, and for that, I'm sorry. Because let's be honest, our parents would laugh to leave 13, even if they made something, to leave 13 minutes on the table for our asses, okay? Unless we were sick or something, that's a different story. But if we're okay and everything, wait, I don't have to spend as much time. Oh, you want me to cut down bringing my kid over? 13 million? Where do I sign? Come on now. I'm just saying. And it doesn't mean that, you know, we're a less – and I don't have no kids. So I know people are going to come on me, well, you don't have a kid. Yeah, but that's right and wrong. I know right and wrong, okay? I don't have to be a father to understand. You know what I mean? Because what LaRoche did doesn't make him the greatest fucking parent in the world, okay? Because guess what? In the real world, parents have, what, 2 or 3 jobs? So what time they really spend with their kid? And they spend when they have to spend with their kid. If you have the luxury to do it, good for you. Doesn't make you the greatest parent in the world, but good for you. But to me, especially when you're a father and you're supposed to show your kid, you know, what's right and wrong, I would be like, okay, I'll compromise. I'll bring them every now and then. Motherfucker's 14 anyway. Hey, we'll make the extra $13 million. I'm thinking about my family in the future. That's more money for them and their generations. Do what I do, and after the year's over, you do what the fuck you want. You don't want to do baseball no more? Fine. And then you do what you do. Then you can be with the kids all you want. That's all I got to say. Ugh, just makes me sick. But go ahead. Your thoughts.
Okay, now, I got plenty to chime in on this one. First of all, I'm going to speak from the aspect. I'm going to give some different aspects on them. First of all, as a business owner, I would tell you, I don't care what type of business it is. It is not conducive to have a child in the workplace. And I'm going to give the scenario. How would, you know, he feel if his wife chose to take his son every day and plop him on her titty when she was nursing with these men and women around? This is not conducive. This is not professional. On top of that, having your child every now and then is one thing, but there is a day called national, and you tapped on it, but you didn't quite understand. There is a day. It's called National Bring Your Child to Work Day. I don't care where you work at in this country. It is a national day where all employers, everybody listen up, all employers are encouraged to allow their employees to bring their children to work of certain ages. The purpose of Bring Your Child to Work Day is to expose your children to the profession or different professions that are out there. It is not to be babysitter. And I want to repeat this. This is not to be babysitter. This is not to alleviate child care. This is not to alleviate any of that. This is a work environment. Last time I checked, you make, I don't care if you make $3 a year or $13 million or $30 million. As much as I can't stand Donald Trump does not take his children to work. He takes them to work not because he got them on payroll. I'm just keeping this real. In the real business world, this is not what you do. You teach children that you get up in the morning, you work hard for your money, and you come home. You take them in and you show them what I do for a living. The fact that MLB even allowed him this long to bring this child to work, he needs to count his blessings. I'm sorry, 13, and I'm going to call this where it is, $13 million a year really is not that much when you look at it in the scheme of things that he does not have only one child. These children have to go through college. These children have other things. And unless he is a LeBron James or a Michael Jordan or a Magic Johnson or Calvin Johnson or somebody who has really, really invested his money, which just from what I'm hearing, I don't know this man. I don't think that him or his wife is taking the time to invest it, because if she's at home homeschooling, then she's not bringing in an income. What is her skill set? And remember, for people who talk about homeschooling, there are no requirements to be a homeschooler. You don't even have to have a high school diploma to homeschool. I'm not saying that his wife is an idiot. I'm just saying, what makes her qualified to even teach this child? You know, with that said, $13 million, you walked away. You just taught your son, and I'm going to speak on the aspect of how I taught the son.
There we go.
His son has been taught that, you know what, if I don't get my way, I'll walk away, and woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. That is not what adults do. Adults do not walk away when they don't get what they want. What adults do is say, hey, I understand, son. You know, I'm used to taking you, but this is business. I get this. This BS about his kids while he was retiring. Okay, first of all, they don't even understand what retirement is, so therefore I don't buy this that they thought he was going to retire when he signed with the Nationals before. I don't buy that for the simple fact children are too young to understand what retirement is. You're not 80-some-odd years old and still working like my grandmother. You have not even lived your life enough to say that you're going to retire. What are you going to do? Because guess what? Unless you open up your own business, which more power to you, you will find it is not conducive to have children in the workplace. I grew up in family-owned businesses. And guess what? My uncle had a repair shop. He had, you know, a waiting room and everything. I don't ever recall myself, my cousins, or anybody ever being at that repair shop day in and day out for no reason. Keep it right at home. I mean, they would get my aunt and uncle, where I would come visit when I was a teenager. Hey, we going to the shop. Not I'm coming to the shop with you. When you ready to come, when you wake up, call us. I wake up. Okay, can I come to the shop? You need to find a ride. We're busy. We can't come and get you. Well, maybe I'll walk down there. We'll get here and rest where you can. You know, and when I got tired of being there, that's when I'm gone. But I was told responsibility because my uncle said, sit here too long. He had a rate. He was going to teach me how to resolder a radiator and stuff, okay? What was his son being taught? You know, what was the conduciveness? The workplace is not conducive for children. At the end of the day, I don't care who you are. I don't care that you're a pro baseball player. You have just taught your children that when you don't get your way from your job, you're going to say, I can't take my kids to work, so I'm going to go home. Well, guess what? In the real world, you don't take your children to work. How would you feel if our commander-in-chief had Sasha and Malia always up in the Oval Office? How would you feel if when they killed Osama bin Laden, that they were sitting there in the sit room with him watching all this transpire? What would you say about the commander-in-chief? You know, let's keep it real. We have a commander-in-chief. How would you feel if his children were sitting there the whole time, if Congress can say that instead of them sitting? If you look at it, even when he does his State of the Union, which he's done his final State of the Union, but I think they were only at one State of the Union address, okay? Why? Because these kids had to get up and go to school in the morning. You know, he moved his mother-in-law in the White House so that he can ensure that his wife was able to do what she had to do. He was able to do what he had to do. Basically, they're about to live in nanny with him. Again, it is not conducive. And you have just taught your children that when you do not get your way, you're going to walk away. Well, guess what? I don't foresee, I don't know your children, I don't know their qualifications, but your children cannot take care of you if something happens right now. Your children have been taught that it's okay to be an irresponsible adult, and as you said, you put family first. Putting family first is saying, you know what, we got to take care of this.
Thank you.
You just taught your children that it's okay to walk away. I'm sorry, I have a business. I get up and I go to a 9-to-5, and I'm sorry, let me give some real-world examples. How would he feel if when he went through the airport and the TSA agents, the ones that we can't stand, you know, had their kids with them helping them check on a daily basis? So you got to know, so it's okay for this 18-month to be running around while you trying to get through airport security. Hold up, let me hold up. Baby, you got to get back over here. Mommy's trying to work right now. You got to stay here. So the lines at the airport all over the place. You got your Delta ticket counter lady. She got her 12-year-old back there. Baby, you got to get off my cell phone. You can't be doing that. Mom, he don't like me down there. What am I going to do? Baby, I can't deal with this right now. I'm at work. Oh, hold up. I got to give up my child right now. You wait here. Ma'am, I don't care about your fight. Don't you see me trying to deal with my child? The workplace is not conducive.
That's right.
Children, I don't care if it's a 3-year-old or a 13-year-old.
Doesn't matter.
There's no workplace that is conducive, and I'm giving situations that we can all relate to. I'm not giving hypotheticals, because if I went to the airport and I'm trying to check my bags in, and anybody who knows me, I ain't never on time for a flight when I leave my house. You think I'm going to be made later because some little bloody 12 or 13-year-old mama is arguing with them and their daddy trying to go sit down? Oh, hold up, ma'am. But, hey, you know what? You might be going to miss your flight. I got to deal with this child. I done made it through that nonsense. I get there, and I got the 18-month-old running around. Oh, hold up. We got to shut this down. I got to take the baby to the bathroom. The real world does not allow us to bring our children
to
work. Right. It is not conducive. If you want to have this type of environment, even when you have your own business, I have my own business. I have an office in my home. Do you know that I don't even, anybody who's ever heard me doing these shows, it is not conducive even for me to have my dogs around, okay? So,
yeah, think about
again.
It. Exactly. Good point.
It's not conducive. And no
yeah.
mature adult in their right mind is going to sit here and understand this. And what is your wife teaching your children? You know, you say he's been homeschooled. Well, what I see is a child that is an overly spoiled brat who's going to think he can get what he wants. What is the socialization? Because I can tell you, children who are isolated from others, I don't care if they're understanding with each other. These, okay, you just created a new homicidal maniac, because if he don't get his way, what do you think he's going to do? How do you problem solve? I'm keeping my promise that I'm not going to cuss, because this is an adult show. And I do want children to be able to listen to this. So I'm using the proper words. It's not conducive. I don't care who you are. How would you feel if you was paid all this money to go see Floyd Mayweather fight and he had one of his children up in the ring? It's not conducive. Hold up. Before I can knock you out, I got to go deal with my 13-year-old because she just came on her period. It's not conducive when you boxing. How would you like it if when you're trying to watch WrestleMania and you got the little Brady newborn out there? Hold up. You've got the divas. Let me pop out this titty so I can nurse this child. It's not conducive. You know, that's worse than the stalker boyfriend. You know, if you, okay, we all have been in dating situations.
Yep.
That's like the girlfriend or the boyfriend who every 5 minutes is calling you at work. It's not conducive. You got to tell your woman to quit calling. You got to tell your man to quit calling because you ain't getting no work done. What makes him think that this is any more acceptable than a spouse or a girlfriend or a parent calling your job? It's not conducive. When he can explain to me where any of this is ever conducive or acceptable, I will back down. But I am a mother. I have been a single parent. I am a business owner. I'm an educated woman. I got told when I was in college, and I think I've told people this, but if I haven't, let me give you a real-world scenario. This is what happened to me. I was in college full-time. Now, anybody who knows about college, you don't go for free. You pay for it. My son got sick at preschool. I had a double stroller. My son had to be about 3 or 4 years old. Now, he wasn't 4 yet, because if he was 4, he wouldn't have never been there anyway. But he was about 3 years old. He got sick. Now, when he got sick, I had to go pick him up before I went to my next class. When I picked him up, I had a double stroller, one of them strollers to lay down because I was fancy. I picked him up. I left my daughter at preschool because, remember, I got 2 children. I picked up my son. I laid him down in the stroller. He went to class with me. My child was asleep, okay? Sleep, S-L-E-E-P. Never, ever said a word because he was tired and he was sick. He had a fever. He was not contagious, but he had a fever. I had my professor come to me. Not because my child was disruptive, not because I did anything. Nobody even knew my child was there. You know what he told me? If you bring your child back to this class again, I will fail you. This is a classroom, not
Bingo.
A nursery school.
Bingo. And he's right.
I, in turn, told him, I pay your salary. My son was sick. But I will give you the different scenario, though. I told him, I pay your salary. My son was sick. He was not disruptive. And put it in writing. He did not put it in writing. Did I bring my son back? No, because it was a once in a rare thing that would happen. But even for that one time, I was told, don't bring him back. Did I challenge it? Yes, but the difference is that my professor didn't pay me. I paid him, and I informed him. My child wasn't disruptive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had taken my children to class many a times with me. I took my child to my psychology class with me. It just happened to be they were talking about children, and my son chimed in, right? Like, yeah, that's it. Everybody's like, see, even children know. He chimed in. But again, I did not take my children. The last time I took my children with me to class when I was in college was right before I graduated when they were teenagers. It is just not conducive, even when you're going to school. And this is what he has to, and I know everybody keeps saying, why do I keep saying it's not conducive? Because these are real situations. This is not, oh, people are picking on him. Nobody cares about him at the end of the day. Let's keep it real. You know, I didn't even know who he was until they say he quit his job over his kids. Well, guess what? What to do? What you want, a cookie, an Oreo? What do you want? What have you just proven to anybody? I'm just curious. Would you like me to go buy you a bag of Oreos? Because at the end of the day, you just taught your children that when you don't get your way, that you can stomp your feet like a little squirrel bat and walk away because I didn't get what I wanted. No, 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 no. I'm taking me and all my marbles with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't play with my marbles no more.
Mm-hmm.
So for everybody who's talking about how good of a parent he is, I see nothing good about this. Nothing. As a parent, a business owner, a woman, somebody who's raised two children, first of all, what makes him, I'm going to go to the point of this child is homeschooled. What makes this child, what makes his wife qualified to homeschool him? I have an aunt who has a PhD, and that doesn't mean fucking idiot, and that's about the only cuss I'm going to do. But she has a PhD. She has a PhD in sociology.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a conversation about homeschooling. And I have a bachelor's degree in public law. My aunt, years and years and years before she got her PhD, used to be a nursery school teacher. She actually was my nursery school teacher when I went to nursery school. And I will tell you that my aunt, who has a teaching certificate, told me to my face, she said, I have a teaching certificate, and I cannot homeschool. What makes people think they're qualified to homeschool? This is a PhD published author in sociology, okay? People are so into, I'm going to homeschool. But when you have doctors of sociology saying, hey, and not just doctors of sociology, but doctors of sociology who have taught preschool saying, hey, I couldn't do it. What makes you more qualified? What makes anybody qualified to homeschool? Where's the socialization skills in? Because when you're in, let's go to the language.
Bingo.
Let's go to the language in the workplace. Every single workplace, these after dark, the language that we use in our workplace is not conducive for young children.
No, it's not.
You know, these after dark radio, the language on our other shows is not appropriate for young children. How would I look at anybody who knew last summer, my grandson was around. If anybody ever listened when he was around, I really toned down my language. I didn't want to. But it's not conducive.
Yeah, yeah. Understandable.
And but I'm a business owner. You know, put like this. I got one better for you.
Go ahead.
My aunt, who is a sociologist, she's retired, but she's a sociologist, and she's, and for anybody who thinks, anybody see me, yeah, my aunt looks good. She got a nice body to be 67, 68 years old. She's not bad looking. She wouldn't take her clothes off, though, but I'm just saying. But with that, I have had family members saying, hey, when you going to let me get on your show?
No.
It's not conducive. And it's not because they're idiots, by no means.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I talk, especially on Triple B,
tomorrow.
And it's all about sex, sex, and more sex.
Yeah, yeah, Triple B.
The language that I use, the language that we use, even around my family, even though they know this language is being used, it's not comfortable. If I were a WNBA basketball player and someone brought their daughter to work, I'm sorry, everybody don't want to see the titties slapping around. You know, men walk around. Okay, let's keep it real. Do you really want your son looking at these men with their junk in? Anybody who knows about men, I'm sorry, James, you could clarify this more, so I'm going to make an assumption from stuff that I've seen on TV. And my assumption is this, that when men are in these locker rooms, they're walking around with jock straps, Sometimes
Thank
they
you.
Nick it because they go into the shower. Do you really
yes.
want your son seeing somebody's
Thank
junk?
You.
I'm serious.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
And do you know? And how comfortable is this? Some men, you know, that's why some guys walk around with a jock strap on because they don't want somebody looking at their junk. But my whole thing is that even for those who have their junk out there, why would you want someone to be looking at your child's junk or your son looking at their junk?
Yeah.
I mean, is this what you really want? That's not conducive. I mean, I'm not promoting homosexuality, and I'm not against homosexuality. But, again, there's language that goes with it. I used to work when I was in the service, and I'm going to talk about the Navy for a minute. Now, being that you and I are both sailors, and we know that we got some miles on us, and when you're working these midnight shifts and you're working these overnight shifts, the language that is used to keep you awake during these shifts are not language. I mean, as a woman, I can tell you as a woman, I will be female on board because some of the things that were said amongst the men. And if this is a woman, as an adult woman, we're not talking some child, the language that's used in the workplace, especially, and I'm using the Navy because me and you both know that the language that happens on midnight shifts is not so much as because they want to offend people. A lot of times it's used for a shock factor. Sometimes it's, that's why you can stay awake because you got to say something that's going to make somebody say, wait, you're going to drop the F-bomb.
Yeah.
You know, what you mean, you're going to get graphic on what you did and how you did it. And let's keep it real. We know that y'all are going to be keeping it real and graphic about some things. Therefore, when this is happening, it's, you know, why is this and why is that? Therefore, when the graphicness is going on, is this what you really want your child to be around and to deal with? It's not conducive. It's very uncomfortable. And I don't understand why anybody would want their child exposed to this.
Here's a little more fuel to the fire. That'll get you going. He has stated, David LaRoche has actually said that my child will learn more in the clubhouse than he ever would in a classroom. Go ahead. Your thoughts. Actual quote.
Where should I start? Is he going to learn how to be a womanizer? Is he going to learn that this is not conducive? What is he going? You know what? Let me start with A. A is for Adam. Now, Adam has a penis. Now, is he going to learn that different Adams have different sized penises? B, is he going to realize that some people call their penis a bat? You know.
I know.
C is for cat. And, you know, some men like to talk about the cat. D is for dog, so he's going to learn how to dog out women.
That's what I'm saying.
Y'all are going to hear is I'm going to take a picture of this doggone license in front of my house, because if you're going to sit in front of my house for 20 minutes, I'm going to take a picture of your license plate, because I want to know why you're sitting out here. Because there's a reason why your ass is sitting in front of my damn house for 20 minutes, and you think that you're going to sit out here and not get your shit taken.
Ooh.
And she's so stupid, she ain't even saying I took a picture of her license plate sitting in front of my house. You want to sit out here? I'm going to call 911 on you. I don't like people sitting in front of my house. I see she's taking off. I got the license plate number now, baby, and to make it a car. I done put on my robe and came outside. I see she took off. I walked right behind her car and took a picture of her license plate number. Don't sit in front of my house. It's amazing how when you don't say nothing and you just walk out and take a picture of my, took two pictures of it. I walk right behind her car. Put on my robe because I'm at home. I put on my robe and I walk right out there.
The hell?
With my phone in my hand and took a picture of this woman's car. Took these pictures of her license plate. Ain't no reason to sit around my house.
The hell is she doing that?
Don't know. But when she saw that I walked right behind her car and took them pictures, I ain't gonna knock on the window. I ain't gonna knock on your window because I got your license plate number. How about that?
Mm-hmm. The hell? Damn.
And I didn't even text, now did I? You didn't even realize I was going outside to text my license plate number.
What the hell? See, that's why I love live radio. I never know what's going to happen.
Okay, now let me finish the alphabet because I only got to the letter D. E.
Yeah.
See, I forget where I was at. E.
Yeah,
no. So he's going to learn about the elephant penis, elephant ears, elephant hands. F. Frank is a fag. Frank is full of it. Frank likes Frank. Frank likes Franny. What is he going to learn about that? G. Greg is great at giving head. Greg is great at eating pee. Greg is great. H.
Harry has.
What'd you say?
Hoes, hoes, and more hoes. You'll hear all about it in this locker room.
Harry has hoes. Harry has many hoes. Harry is a hoe. Harry did a hoe. Harry and a hoe did another hoe. Harry and Harry did a hoe together.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, there's H. I. Isaac likes innies. Isaac likes it in the back.
Yeah.
Isaac likes it in the mouth. Mm. Isaac just likes it in.
I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them.
Jay. Jay is for Jerry. Jerry likes Jerry likes to do it with Jan, Janice, Janet, Jackie, and Jolene at the same time.
And that's just one night.
Yeah. Hey, Kirk. Kirk likes Keisha, but Keisha likes Kim. Kim wants Keisha and Kirk to do Kim. Therefore, Kirk wants to watch Keisha and Kim doing it, and Kim and Keisha decide they want to do Kirk. This is what you're going to learn in the locker room.
Yes.
L is for Luke. Larry is loose. Larry likes them loose. Larry is quite loose himself because Larry likes to loose up in the rear. You got Mike. Now, Mike likes Minnie, and Mike likes Mike. Mike likes to do Mike more than Mike likes to do Minnie. Mike thinks Minnie should be doing Mike. But Mike thinks Mike should be doing Mike. Mike and Mike wants Minnie to watch them do it together. And this is what you're going to learn in the locker room. Now you've got Nick. Nick likes it nice and wet. Nick likes it nice and wet with Mike. Now you're going to take Nick and Mike, who likes Jackie, and you're going to have them all jerk off on Nancy. How about that? Should I finish up the alphabet? Because we've got Oliver, who likes Olivia. Oliver and Olivia likes it really wide open. And when Oliver and Olivia are doing open, they like to open in the mouth, open in the open, open in the clothes, and open all open. That's Olive and Olivia. And right now, we got Olive and Olivia, but Olive and Olivia like threesomes, and they got Ollie. Okay, now we got Peter. Peter likes Olivia and Nancy and Jackie. Peter likes to watch all of them do it together. But Peter also likes the P. I'm being nice. I didn't say it. Peter likes the P-U. Peter likes the P-U in his mouth. Peter likes the P-U all over his is David. And Peter likes PU in the morning. Peter likes PU in the evening. Peter likes PU before and after the game. Wow, are we really? I'm going to try to finish up this off there without laughing because I can't keep a straight face because you know, anybody that's out, no, this is never now. This is all adding up. And the fact that I'm able to get this kind of doggone alphabet and I haven't cussed yet.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's really amazing.
Now we're at Q. Q is for Quincy. Quincy likes Queen. Quincy likes Queen and the Queenie Quince. If y'all don't know what that means, go look it up. You got the hint. But now you got Roger. Roger likes Queenie. Queenie likes Quince. But they all like P. And Queenie and Quincy with Roger likes to pee in all their mouths. P-U. Now we're at the Stephen. Well, Stephen doesn't like anything but Sam. So Stephen only likes Sam, and he don't like Stephanie's at all. So when you bring a Stephanie around, he's like, ooh. So this is what his son is going to learn, because he's going to learn that Stephen only likes Sam and don't bring a Stephanie around. U is for Ulysses. Ulysses likes Sam. But Ulysses also likes Stephanie. But Ulysses is going to make it clear that he's bisexual. See, we didn't get there before. So we're going all the way back to the B's, because we're going to learn about Ulysses being bisexual, because Ulysses likes Quincy. And he likes Stephanie. Okay, you see that? William. Okay, now we're down to William.
Okay.
So William likes women with wide open PUs. And that's all he likes, is wide open PUs. But he likes the wide open PO that he can put his David in. And then we got X. X is Xavier. Wow, I'm getting it. I'm almost there. Xavier is just out there. Because when you got Xavier, you got Xavier who likes wild, wet women. This is what we're learning in the locker room. Now you got, Yankee Man. And you got a Yankee man who likes European women who are wide open and wet.
Yeah, that's not bad. I'll find that.
And now you got
Zach.
You got Zach. And Zach just likes everybody from A to Z.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's what you learned in the locker room. God, you made me go, I can't believe we just... Did we just get a name for everything in the alphabet?
Yep. I think you did. That sounds like you did.
So this is what his son is going to learn in the locker room, huh?
Now go out there and get ready for the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck, son.
He's going to learn about bisexuality. He's going to learn about long packages. He's going to learn about Larry. He's going to learn about Larry and Sam and Sam and Stephanie and Stephanie and Steve. You know, he's going to learn about Quincy and Xavier.
This is the bottom line, and this is what we've all been saying. It's just not professional, and it's selfish to your teammates. Because after a while, your teammates are going to feel kind of strange. That teammate can't walk around with his jock strap like he usually does, because you have your kid there. They can't loosely express themselves because you got your kid there. They can't get...
Okay, I got a question. Can I ask a question real quick? Now, since I'm not a male athlete, but we all have hormones, so we all know that for every single sport, you have your groupies. So this means that not because when they go around, they can't talk about the groupies. Because think about it. Okay, we all know that, and men, high guess is up in the, well, guess came and left. But for I want to make this clear. I'm not saying that men are adulterers. I'm not saying that men cheat. But what I will say is that there are some men who are single, and this is what they do. I mean, you have a lot of single men that are in different lifestyles that are single and have their groupies. And what you're telling, what he's saying, that his son is learning how to be a womanizer. He's learning how to deal with women who only are going to be after you for a certain reason. He's learning that a one-night stand is okay, and he's going to learn that adultery is perfectly acceptable as long as your wife don't know. This is what you're telling me. And there is no way this is what I want my child learning. And if he thinks that this is perfectly acceptable and that nobody should have a problem with it, you take your $13 million and you go and open up your business and you start taking your child to work and you see how conducive your workplace will be. Because at the end of the day, it's not conducive. And
it's not.
I have no problem, but let's look at the highlights. Was it one of the managers where they was during a game and their child ran out on home saying they had to go scoop him up real quick? Now, this was not even a child that was at a game, you know. And this is a child, we're talking about, that was probably once in a lifetime thing that that happened, and I bet that child didn't be brought back to no more games.
Can I tell a little backstory on that real quick?
Sure.
So, because this was on MLB Network like a few weeks ago about Dusty Baker. Anybody knows Dusty Baker is a former baseball player, not a bad player in his day. He was teammates with Hank Aaron when he first came to the league, Dusty Baker, and he was there for Hank Aaron's record-breaking 715 home run. Matter of fact, he was on deck circle when it happened. And then he went to the Dodgers later on, with Tommy Lasorda. And then he became a manager, 3-time manager of the year, well-respected in Major League Baseball. This was in the 2002 World Series where Ms. V is talking about, where he had his young boy as a special bat boy, which, to me, that I have no problem with that, because that's just a thing. You know, it's not like, okay, this is every day. You know, so that don't bother me, so I have no problem with it. But what the problem was, his mom called him. He told this on his documentary thing. He was like, listen, I don't think it's a good idea for the boy to be there. Oh, mom, stop. You know, everything will be okay. Then look what happened. There was a play. Somebody on the Giants, I think it was, I forgot his name. He hit a double or something. Two runs coming to score. Now, instinctively, the little boy, because he sees the bat being dropped by the batter, you know, because he's running the bases, he's doing his job. You know, he's not even 2 or 3. He might have been only 4. Who knows?
He knew he was a bad boy, and he knew his job was to go get the bat. So all he knows, they drop the bat, I go pick up. That's part of my job. I got to make sure the bat is gone.
So he's going – now, these runners are coming around third, going home. They're coming 100, you know, full speed. Now, thank God, one of the his players, you know, as he came home, picked up the boy with his – you know, one hand as he's running to make sure the runner behind him doesn't hit him by accident. And he had to pick up. So then that happened. And then his mother, oh boy, his mother let him have it. See what I told you? And he was saying, see, it doesn't matter. No matter how old you are, your mother's going to be your mother.
And again, it was a lesson learned, even though his son thought he was doing the right thing. He was not out there trying to, high five. This is my job. This is what I got to do. And this is why, what makes him think that this is acceptable? And this is all I want to, you know, and I know we spent the whole show on this, but it's really important because I think that we, in the midst of all this, what are we teaching about workplace etiquette at the end of the day? I mean,
it's a business.
I'm sorry, James. It would be like every time you got on the air, your woman being right there sucking your Johnson. You know, it's just not conducive. I mean, even though you work out of home, it's still not conducive to have her there distracting you.
Thank you. Exactly. That's like if also she's listening in and then she chimes in out of nowhere. You know, that's not professional.
And anybody who's, and let's give a really good example. Anybody who's ever listened to It's All About Sex, Sex, and More Sex knows every now and then during my show, I end up having sex. It doesn't happen a lot, but I do end up having sex during my show. Not simulated sex, And it's very distracting when I'm trying to do my show. And think about it. My show, that show is called, it's all about sex, sex, and more sex. Do you know how distracting it is to be trying to have sex when you're working?
Now, in 2 years, which has been 2 years, I should have known the exact date, but it's been 2 years since I've been aboard with you. The time has flown by. And to my recollection, since I've joined in the family, maybe I don't know, but I don't recall ever you having sex when we've done this show.
We have.
I just didn't know.
I have.
You have? No shit.
I have.
No kidding. Oh, wow.
Actually, it's been this actual show.
Really?
Yes.
No kidding. What the hell that?
A lot of times when I would go silent, if I go silent during the show and I'm like, okay, 9 times out of 10, I'm being 8 out. I'm just saying.
Damn. So has most of the time just been that act, or has it been other sexual acts?
Well, it's what we do normally, because I can't go farther now. It's gone both ways. Let's put it like this. It's gone both ways because I think one of our shows, we had a guest, and this was when we were still on Tuesday nights with It's All About Sex, Sex, and More Sex. And it was like towards the end of the show, and I was actually giving head during that show, and a lot of people didn't know it. So, yeah, it's happened since we've been on the air. I'm just saying. So, and it's very distracting. Hello? Wow. I think we just lost our host. Blog Talk really didn't like him tonight. Oh, my goodness. Hey, at least you made it through the whole show. For everybody who's listening and I don't know what the heck is going on. You have been listening to Ask Whiskey Sports, and we just got into the sex part of it after the end of the show. But we've had a really interesting conversation tonight, and this conversation really has been about children in the workplace and how big of distractions they have been. Tomorrow night, you want to come back to us all about sex, sex, and more sex at 10 p.m. But I got a good announcement for you guys because April 8th, Miss Cleo will be on. Yes! You back? Okay, I hear him. But we will be going into April with guests. We're going to end this month with tomorrow night. Make sure you listen. Tomorrow is Let Me Blast the Person Night. This will be the show where I will be talking about people who are not doing the right thing. But until then, you guys have a really, really, really... I want you guys to have a great evening. I want you to come back tomorrow night to... It's All About Sex, Sex, and More Sex. And I'll talk to you later.
What the hell are you listening to? I'm just bitching on the internet. I'm just leaving a comment underneath the video.
Yeah, just go hang out with your sisters.
Really? Oh, that's right. I could be listening to the Bitterback Bitch Show and commenting live instead of plotting your disappearance with my sisters. Join your host, Miss D, the Toy Lady, and Sierra Dubai every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, for the Bitterback Bitch Show on D's After Dark, because there's always something to bitch about.